Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Athletes Unfiltered.
What the hell's going on here? I literally told him, I was like, you're in high school. And then he's like, no, I'm not in high school. Like, you f***ing idiot. You know? I was like, ah, oh, jeez, this guy's definitely not coming here now.
The podcast made by the athlete for the fans.
Kind of the main difference is that we're just pouring our hearts and souls into the sport. And I know our guys want to win. And that's what hurt in that moment. And what I had to kind of overcome and come to the realization, you know, this is what I signed up for.
Now here are your hosts, Adrian Martinez and Jeff Ekstrom.
Whether you are washing the dog, grocery shopping, sewing even, whatever you like to do.
Sewing?
You never know.
Yeah, okay. Continue. So I totally interrupted the intro. Welcome to Athletes Unfiltered.
Adrian Martinez, Jeff Ekstrom along with you here. And Adrian, episode number 7, we're already there. And at this time, we're approaching your season here.
Yeah, and a very exciting time. I couldn't be more pumped about this team. And that's not just press conference talk, it's legit. I feel like the chemistry we have going, the unit that we have from talent, just to how hard we've worked all summer, I feel really confident going into this season.
Yeah, I mean, you guys start the season with a conference opponent on the road, Illinois. And this was originally supposed to be in Ireland, right?
It was. So, obviously, a little disappointing.
Yeah.
Because that's an experience of a lifetime and something that I was definitely looking forward to. And I know my family was too. And Husker Nation always supports. And I know they would have even outside the country, which is nuts. But spending a week there and somewhere I'd never been, I was really looking forward to it. But it is what it is. We get to go to Champaign, Illinois, and go play a Big Ten opponent. It'll be interesting playing the first game of the year against a conference foe. I've never done that in my time here, and so that'll be a little bit different that way, but it's exciting. And I know the intensity kind of goes up a notch, so it'll be we'll feel it out. You know, I'm assuming that intensity is going to be the same because both teams need the W. That's how it goes. Conference play is crucial, especially in the Big Ten. So I'm excited.
And it's interesting because as a fan growing up and watching Nebraska football and everything, one of the biggest games of the year was always the first road game. Just because usually weeks before you hammer non-conference opponents at home, you're comfortable in that setting. And then you go on the road for the first time. And it's kind of like, all right, obviously you've been on the road multiple times before, but it's also, it's a new season. You're on the road for the first time, kind of adjustments a little. And it's weird that you're starting it for the season.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it might be more advantageous to us to start the year on the road, kind of go. And I think the potential to earn a big road W to start the year would be an even bigger boost to the team. Kind of get us going on a hot streak early against a conference opponent. That provides a lot more momentum than maybe a non-conference game at home. Like you even said, more of a comfortable environment. I think it's a great opportunity. And early in the year, it's kind of like the first game is the first game. I don't know if road or away even or road or home makes a difference that way. That excitement, that feel, it's just different. So I think it's more advantageous to us that way.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a like you said, it's a conference opponent, and it's a new coach, too. I mean, Brett Bielema, who's been in the Big Ten before, he was at Wisconsin for a while. I don't know if you guys have gone through that yet or anything, but what's your first take with analyzing that Illinois team?
Yeah, so it's always a little bit different playing a new coach at the beginning of the year because you're not necessarily sure what you're going to see. But what you can do is go back and watch the film of the previous place he had coached at, maybe the previous where the defensive coordinator coached at. What type of things do they like to run? What are they looking to do defensively? Usually they have an identity and something that they like to run with their personnel. So that's kind of the starting point. And then from there, it's like, how are we going to attack that? What are we going to do? What are our adjustments? And I think it'll be fun, you know? Having a little bit of uncertainty is kind of something you always have in a game because teams have new things to throw at you. But usually once you figure out what their game plan is, you can kind of attack it from there. So I know that'll happen during the game at some point regardless. We're going to be prepared, and I think the big thing for us is making sure we know what we're doing on our side. If we execute, it shouldn't matter what they're doing on their side because we're ready to attack it at all angles.
Obviously, you've said this over the past few episodes. You're the old guy now. You've been here for a few years, fourth year. How is it feeling this fourth year? Any type of a different feel than previous years, or just give us an insight?
Yeah, I mean, I was thrown into the leadership role early on here in Nebraska, and that was something I was comfortable with, but I don't think I was 100% equipped for it yet at that level. With how big our team is and all that requires, you know, kind of your attention and commitment on the college level and as a college quarterback of like a major D1 program. And I feel as equipped and experienced as I ever have right now as a leader. And I think I've kind of notched up to a new level and have been able to rely on guys around me to be great leaders as well. And I think that's given me a tremendous amount of confidence. So that's one of the things. And then secondly, I think my off-season program and what we've been doing in the strength room, what I've been doing drill-wise is just so refined to this point because I've been there and I know exactly what I kind of need to work on. I think that's helped me elevate my game as well. You know, putting aside some of the things I know I don't need to put focus on and focusing more on what I need to get better on, what I need to do to be a better leader, I think has really elevated us as a unit.
Yeah, and I want to touch briefly on the personnel as well, because I think the program is kind of going in a different shift. You can just see that Coach Frost is recruiting bigger guys. You're seeing now he's recruiting guys that are 6'3", 6'4", really tall and big physical receivers and whatnot. And also, just with the guys you have there now, you got a mix of guys who've been there, like Levi Falk, Oliver Martin for a year, Austin Allen. But they also have an influx of new guys. Omar Manning, who was here last year but didn't really play, he'll finally step in there. You got Smori, who's just on, and Marquis Stepp, running back position. So how would you evaluate the personnel compared to the previous years you've been here?
Yeah, I think we have a really, really good mix of some veteran guys with experience that are also good guys, you know, who want to lead, who want to help our team get to the next level, and some new guys who are some new young guys that are really pushing the older guys to get better and to raise our standard. And so right now I feel great about the talent that we have. But beyond that, the way we're working, because we've had talent before, but I do think our talent's better. But it's more about the chemistry and kind of the collective movement that we're having that really has me encouraged. And, you know, you have to play with a chip regardless. And I think this team has it, and it's developed to the point where I'm pumped to finally get on the field.
Score prediction?
I do not have
one. Thought I'd try. There you go. Talk about Illinois. They will play in week zero. Something that really hasn't happened in Nebraska for a while.
Yeah, it definitely pushed our fall camp to an earlier date, but sooner the better. Let's get this thing going.
That's right. Well, what is coming soon here is an interview with Samari Torre. Coming up right after this, don't go away, exciting stuff, here on Episode 7 of Athletes Unfiltered. Welcome back in. It is already episode number 7 of Athletes Unfiltered. Jeff Ekstrom with you as always, along with Adrian Martinez. And Adrian, we got a new counterpart with us today, Samari Torre. He's new, not only to this podcast, but also to Nebraska, transferred from Montana, and he'll be catching some footballs from you this fall.
Oh, he most definitely will be. He knows that. He caught some in the spring game, and I'm pumped he wanted to come on the pod. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm honored to be here, you know, with the legend himself, 2 a.m.
Love that.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit. Let's talk some shop. Obviously, you're a grad transfer, and you started your career at Montana. So let's talk about the recruiting process. What led you to Montana? What made you pick there? I know how talented you are. No disrespect to Montana, but you're that dude. You know what I mean? Yeah, so elaborate on it.
Yeah, honestly, it was like a stroke of luck to be able to go to Montana, honestly, because I was, like, not recruited at all. Mm. Yeah, so, like, as a sophomore in high school, I was on JV, which I know not a lot of D1 players can say that.
Yeah, You know, usually there's kind of, like, a standout moment in, like, sophomore year, depending. You're from Oregon, right?
Yeah, I'm from Oregon.
So I don't know how high school ball is out there, but I imagine a lot of those dudes you're trying to compete with were probably playing varsity sophomore year, whatever, but – Continue. Go on. Keep going what you were saying.
Yeah, so I was on JV, like, and barely even playing at that, you know, and then going into my junior year, I wasn't even in a position to play varsity either, but by a stroke of luck, and I don't want to say luck because it sounds bad, but the two starting receivers who were going to be the go-to guys that next year, one of them got in trouble with the law, got arrested, and the other one transferred schools. So it was kind of like, okay, you're the next man up. And they weren't expecting anything of me. It was just like, don't fuck this up.
Yeah, for sure.
So it wasn't a lot of pressure going into it, but I ended up having a really good, you know, junior year. And then, you know, fast forward going into that summer, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to start taking this thing serious. That's when I first started to, you know, go to camps and stuff.
Going on the camp circuit, going to different schools.
So I went to, like, an Oregon State camp, Oregon camp, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, and then fast forward to my senior year, you know, I had a crazy year. You know, I had like a, you know, broke a bunch of school records and stuff like that. So
what level was your high school at?
It was 6A.
So is 6A the highest?
Yes. Okay. 6A is the highest in Oregon. So, I had a good year. So I was expecting, you know, like offers to start rolling in.
For sure.
And it just really didn't happen. You know, I got an offer from Air Force. That was really like my only like 100% offer, but I kind of knew that wasn't like.
Did you ever take a visit there? Because I had a buddy, one of my best friends in high school, got an offer from Air Force, and he took a visit, and they're like, "Yeah, you're gonna have to
serve an additional
3 years, no matter what. If you're good enough to be a first round NFL pick, you're serving 3 years and then going to the NFL."
Yep, exactly. And I didn't even end up taking a visit there. I actually had a home visit with them, and you know, it went pretty good. You know, he's a cool guy, but I just know myself, and that's not me.
Like, it wasn't your scene, yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted to have, like, a college experience. You know, I didn't want to be waking up at 5 a.m., you know, people screaming at me and stuff like that.
Dude, I've heard some crazy stories. I'll have to get into that after, but I've heard some crazy stories.
Oh, yeah, no, me too. Two of my teammates actually at Montana, they went to Air Force, did the year of, like, prep school, because you got to do a year of prep school when you go there, and then after that, they were like, yo, I can't do this shit.
Yeah, like, you have to walk a certain path, and you have to – oh, you can chew your food in, like, 7 bites or something if you chew, like, yeah, some crazy. And if you don't, then, like, you get ripped and have to do a punishment or whatever, but.
See, yeah, I couldn't do that. And I have a lot of respect for the people who can do that. But
no doubt, dude. There's a different level of discipline that goes into that type of stuff.
Yeah, but that's just not me, so. But, yeah, I got that offer, and I was like, okay, yep, like, I know how this goes. You get one offer, all the other offers start rolling in. Not what happened at all. But, you know, I kind of felt disrespected almost, especially by all the schools that were in my area, you know, Oregon, Oregon State, even Portland State. Portland State's what really hurt me, because I'm like, yo, they didn't give you anything. Yeah.
Really? Any attention?
They like came to some of my games and stuff. They would talk to me. They wanted to actually offer me a half scholarship to play defensive back, but I'm – like, I didn't want to do that. Like, I'm a receiver.
I broke school records as a receiver. What are you doing recruiting me as a DB?
Exactly. So, actually, my offensive coordinator, his dad coached with the old coach at Montana, Bob Stitt, and he just kind of, like, put in a good word for me. He was like, yo, I have this receiver, like, you know, he's a good kid, he's talented, he's not getting a lot of attention. And, you know, I had, like, an over-the-phone interview with that coach, and he liked what he heard. He could tell, you know, I was a good kid. And I ended up going to visit out there, like, right before signing day, and you know, I fell in love with it, and it was really my only option. So they threw me a half scholarship and said, you know, show me what you can do.
Mm-hmm. And then you proved it.
How'd
your career go? So what was your development like? Because obviously you kind of took a big step to becoming the guy you wanted to be, and obviously that's a process that never stops. But when you first got on campus to that last year in Montana – what happened?
A lot of stuff happened, but like going into it, you know, I redshirted. Montana's like a traditional school that like redshirts everyone that goes in there just because, you know, they want to get the everything out of you. Yeah, you know, they want you to develop, and then they want 4 good years out of you or whatever. But yeah, I came in redshirted, and I came in right away, and I was like doing pretty good. And my coach was like, "Look, like you could play right now. Like you're a little undersized," which was an understatement. I was like 165 soaking wet when I got there.
Yeah.
And that probably had a lot to do with like why other schools like big D1 programs weren't throwing offers
but
at me.
But that could be developed is the thing. So I feel like that shouldn't really be a big, but they do use that like, you're not
Exactly. Not
the size we need weight wise.
Like, yeah.
Isn't that what you do at the college level? You
exactly.
You beef kids up.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, like whatever. But yeah, so I redshirted, and then my redshirt freshman year, they started me out in the slot. And you know, I had a good season. Like I was a backup to my guy Jerry Louis McGee, who was like a fan favorite. He was a baller, bro. Mm. He was super short, shifty. You know, punt return, kick return.
Great little slot guy.
Slot guy, yeah. So I was like kind of like learning from him. Obviously, like I was a different type of player, but I was like, you know, taking pieces of his game. So, but they were finding ways to work me in there. So I ended up with like. I think I had like 30 catches, around 500 yards.
Yeah, and you had like 5 touchdowns
too.
Yeah,
5 touchdowns, something like that. So that was crazy, bro. Like, just you know that first college experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Montana is like a great place to play too.
I've
like,
heard the atmosphere is pretty good, right? Yeah. They support pretty well.
Yeah, and it's like one of the best in the FCS. Like 25,000, you know, always like almost sold out. So it was a crazy experience. And then after my freshman year, they were like, "Look, like you proved yourself. Like we're gonna put you on a full scholarship. Like you earned it." I'm like, "Bet." I'm like, "Let's go," because it was tough, you know. Like all my teammates like getting the checks and like getting all the extra benefits.
Yeah, getting the stipends and getting their school paid for, and you were kind of left out, but you were playing.
Yeah, and it was like I was better than a lot of them, and who like they weren't even playing, and I was like, "How am I not getting paid?"
Definitely.
So after the season, they're like, "Yeah, I'm gonna put you on full," and then the coaches get fired. Whole coaching staff.
Oh wow,
gone.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I was like, "Well, it's back to square one." So new coaching staff rolls in. I'm like, "Look, they said they were gonna put me on full. You can run the film back from last year. Like I can play. I showed it. I proved it." And they're like, "Yeah, you know, you're a good player, definitely, but." You got to prove yourself with us now, because we don't know if you're gonna mesh with this new coaching staff. So
yeah, that's how the game works.
Mm-hmm, he's like, "You got to prove yourself again in spring ball." So I'm like, "All right, I guess I have no other choice, right?"
Yep.
So spring ball happens, and you know I end up earning a scholarship at the end of spring ball. So I'm like, "All right, bet." Like now we can.
That's
get
what
to
I deserve. Work. Yeah.
Yeah. So sophomore year was actually like probably my worst year. Like, because they had moved me to outside receiver. So that's when I first started playing.
Do you feel
outside.
More natural inside or outside? I mean, I know what you're playing for us.
Yeah.
Or you're probably going to play a little bit of both, but you're in the slot right now.
Yeah. Well, I felt more natural. I played outside in high school, so, like, that's what I was used to. But going into slot, I was like, okay, like, I like this too. And then when they moved me back outside, it was just tough because it was at the D1 level. So I'm like... I haven't done this since high school. It felt kind of weird.
Yeah, there was an adjustment.
Yeah, it was an adjustment. Yeah. And that's what that year was. It was like an adjustment year, you know. So I still had like 400 yards or something like that. But I wasn't – like I had trouble getting off press at times, like reading coverages because I was just, like you said, adjusting.
Mm-hmm.
But then – so after that year, I'm like, okay, like I know what I need to work on. I have experience in the slot and outside, like – this summer I need to put it all together and really like go off next year and show what I can do. And then that's what I did. Like my junior year, I had a really good year. So, and then after that shit, I had a good year. So I ended up entering the transfer portal just cause they canceled our season because of that COVID year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what was that like? I know. So last year they canceled the season and moved it to spring. So did that change a lot of guys' mindsets? Like, man, I need to go see if I could test the waters at the D1 level.
Right.
What led you to that decision? Outside of that, did you know you wanted to play kind of at a higher level too?
Yeah. So after my season, I was thinking about it, and I had a lot of voices, you know, on the outside telling me, you know, like you went off at this level, like, and there's nothing really else that you can do, like I was all American, like, yada yada yada. So it's like, what else can you do at this level? You know, the only thing that you haven't done is like go off against the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah, like that's a good point, but at the same time, like, we had made it to the playoffs for the first time in like I don't know how many years. So I was like, but I like, this school took a chance on me. You know, these are all my brothers here. Like, I've been going here for...
It's a tough decision, yeah, man. It's a real tough decision. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you got to make the one that's better for you.
Exactly.
You know, and what your dreams are. Like, you want to get to the league.
Exactly.
And, you know, this step will help you get there.
Exactly. But it was just tough. Like I said, those were my brothers. This is my program. Like, and I'm comfortable here. That's another thing is, like, I was comfortable. And I didn't want to step outside of my comfort zone. Like, I wasn't thinking about it like that because... You know, I was trying to make excuses for it, but that's really what it was, is I was comfortable.
Definitely.
But, you know, this is right after my junior year, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stick it out. Like, you know, I love my guys here, and I feel like you can make it to the league from anywhere. It might be more of an uphill battle, but, you know, I'm going to stick it out. And then COVID hit.
Mm.
So then it's like, okay, this is like, I feel like this is someone telling me, like, nah, you were right when you thought about it the first time.
That was like a sign.
It was like a sign to me. And also, it's just, you know, I came out to Montana to play football, bro. I'm not just gonna sit out a whole year and be in Montana, you know, away from my family, away from everyone, just to watch, you know, games on TV.
Yeah.
So that's when I was really like, look, I need to get out of here, like. I need to make the best decision for myself, like you said.
So you're saying you didn't want to live in Montana for the rest of your life?
I know it might sound crazy, but and I love Montana too. But you know, I was there for one reason and one reason only.
Yeah.
Well, like I've heard it's Missoula, right? That's where Montana is?
Missoula, yeah.
Yeah, and I've heard that campus and stuff is just beautiful, like off the charts.
It is. It's up there. It's up there with one of the most beautiful, you know, places.
Yeah, I've heard the scenery is nice. Yeah. I mean, I know a couple people that move that way, and it's. A different way of life and a different way than Nebraska.
Yeah, you know? And a lot of people, you know, a lot of like people who got like real money, like have vacation spots out there.
Mm.
I know Tom Brady does, a bunch of like different actors and stuff do, just because it's beautiful.
Well, they just
beautiful.
Play the match there.
Yeah.
It's a great getaway. Wait, so the golf match was in Montana? I was wondering where that was.
Yep. It's at, I can't remember the golf course name off the top of my head. But
just so if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, it was Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Phil Mickelson, and Bryson DeChambeau.
Mm-hmm.
They played a little, like, I don't know if it was charity. It might not have been, but mic'd up, little match. Fun to watch. I did you tune in?
I watched a little bit of it, and those are awesome because they mess around. They don't really care. I mean, they're competitive, but also they know
like
that's
talking shit and stuff like that. Yeah. You watch any golf? You watch?
I watched some of that, and it was funny because they had like the earpieces in, like talking shit to each other.
Yeah.
Tom Brady was feeling bold that day. He was he was giving Aaron Rodgers a lot of shit about, you know, his Packers situation.
I was like, Tom Brady's been. I mean, if you've won that many Super Bowls and you've accomplished all that you have, like. What do you have to lose? Like, his wife is Giselle, a supermodel. Mm-hmm. He's got, like, $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you could say probably whatever you want.
I like the fact that he's starting to kind of talk his shit more. Like,
yeah,
it's cool
and
to see
social
that
media,
side of him.
Too, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
No doubt. I love it. I really do. You play any golf some more?
Well, I showed you, you know, when I was back home. I tagged you in that little Snapchat.
Yeah. He did. He posted a little story, like, he's got a good swing, and I gave him a little criticism.
It's welcomed, of course. You know, I tagged him and Levi. I was like, you know, I know there were some big golf guys. I'm like, you know, rate my swing. And he was like, he said something like, the form is decent, but the contact is a little shakier, like something like that.
Had to.
But not a big golf guy, but I'm trying to get into it a little bit, you know.
You should, man. Yeah. Were there any courses out in Montana? Or is it is it cold? Like most of the year,
Winters are super long, bro. They start in like October, and it'll be snowing and stuff until like March, like end of spring. Like my last spring ball there, we had to delay it like 2 weeks because the field was frozen over.
Did you have an indoor? Is there an indoor there?
No.
Oh my gosh,
that's soft to them.
I feel that though because we'll have practices outside. Just to be like, we're not soft. We're going.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the year, it'll be snowing, and like, hey, we got to get ready for this big game in Minnesota. Like all week outside. I'm like, we have an indoor
for a reason.
Right.
But no, I get it though. Mm-hmm. Back to football. So when you entered your name into the transfer portal, was there any concern like, man, there are a ton of people in the portal right now. It's COVID. Things are kind of hitting the fan. Was it a stressful process for you? Were there a lot of suitors? I imagine there were.
Yeah, it was definitely a stressful process, but I was confident. I'm like, someone's going to pick me up. Like, I know there's a lot of people in the portal, but even though I only have a year left, which is tough because there's a lot of guys with like 2 years, 3 years, even 4 years eligibility in the portal, but a lot of the guys in the portal are unproven. Like 90% of the time when someone's entering the portal, it's because they're not playing where they're at.
Yeah, you know? That's a good point.
Yeah, and I'm like, I have a resume. I proved myself. Like, someone's going to pick me up, you know.
Yeah, so who else were you thinking about picking besides Nebraska?
It's weird. It was a lot of schools that, like, reached out initially, you know, out of the portal, but it kind of dwindled down a little bit. Like, schools here and there, like, they call me, talk to them, and then they kind of, like, fade away. But, like, when it came down to it at the end, I really wanted to go to Oregon State. But they didn't reach out really, which kind of hurt me, because I'm like, okay, bro.
Hey, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, me neither. But like they I was like, you missed me the first time, you know, coming out of high school, and then I proved myself, and you still, you know, don't really want to mess with me, but you know. And then it was Oregon, which is another school that I really wanted to go to, even though I grew up an Oregon State fan. But you know, with COVID, another thing that made it tough is, everybody got their year back, so all the guys who were supposed to leave
leave. Yeah,
yeah. So it's like, that's another thing that happened.
You probably had to weigh a little bit of like opportunity versus like where I want to play, like a combination of things, because you obviously want to come in and make an impact, right? Yeah. You weren't trying to come in and be like a second receiver type of guy, you know?
Exactly. And I was confident that like wherever I go, like I'm gonna work hard enough to give them no choice but to put me on the field, but. You know, at the same time, it's a lot of politics and stuff that goes into it. But at the end of the day, it was kind of between Miami and Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Miami was obviously a historical program, just like Nebraska. But they ended up going in a different direction. It was between me and Charleston Rambo. And they ended up going with Rambo. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I was like, damn, like, I don't really know what I'm going to do. And then, like, the next day, Nebraska came in, like, guns blazing, like, look, saying everything I wanted to hear. It's love like, they read my mind. They're like, look, like, we need a receiver. You're not here to sit on the bench. You're coming here to come in here right away to make an impact, you know. And plus, you know, Coach Frost and Coach Lubick, both Oregon guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, I'm familiar with that. You know, that's my hometown. Same coaches that were there when Mariota was there, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's music to my ears, bro. That offense was fucking electric. Like,
yeah, it was. No doubt about it.
Like, that's my dream. And it was kind of like a match made in heaven for me. I'm like, yeah, like, I wasted no time. I'm like, you know, I'm loving this. Like, let's do it.
Yeah, that was awesome. I remember seeing that, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I watched a little highlight tape. Okay, this dude's legit. Let's see what he's got. Came in here, spring ball. I was like, oh, shit. This dude's a guy. Like, he's going to – he's getting a ball for us. I remember we were in the indoor, I think, the first time we were throwing routes. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, that was, like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, damn near first day, I'm like, bro, let's go. Like, I was kind of overwhelmed by everything just because, you know, it's really amazing.
The speed of it and the whole deal. It's probably just a lot. It's, what are some of the differences, then, between Montana and Nebraska? Just football program.
Football program, it's a lot of differences, but, like, it's just so much more here. And really, I feel like it comes down to money, you know, because FCS, there's not a lot of money to go around. But, you know, here, the biggest difference is, like, you know, training table, honestly, is, like, a big thing.
The food.
Yeah. It's, like, that's the thing, like, coming from an FCS school is, like, I'm appreciative of everything. Like,
definitely.
I'm like, I don't take anything for granted, you know, like, training table, you know, all the resources we have, you know. Dr. Brett was the sports psychology, like all the stuff like that.
We just truly do have it all. Like, we're super lucky to, I mean, in all departments. I mean, anything you could ever want to be as good as you know, want to be is here to make it happen.
Like, I remember, like, my first, like, time coming out here with my mom, you know, they brought all the, like, early recruits in or whatever, like, taking us on a tour of everything, like, and my mom's like, My mom's like, oh my gosh, like, you have this, you have that. Oh my goodness. Like, she was like, just blown away. I'm blown away too, but I'm hiding it.
Yeah, hide
I'm
it.
I'm
right?
Like, mom, play it cool. Like, play it cool. Like, we gotta act like
it's a little hard to get.
I'm like, we gotta act like we've been here before, you know?
For sure, bro. Yeah, for sure.
But I was just like she was on the inside, bro. Like, just blown away by everything. Like, can't believe, like, I'm like in this opportunity. I'm like in this position, you know? So, like, extremely, extremely grateful for it all.
What were some of your first impressions of the players? Like, spring ball, even to me, you know, brutally honest, I need to hear it.
I was just, like, I was kind of, it was overwhelming at first just because, like, we have a big-ass team, bro.
Have a big team. We have one of the bigger teams in the country.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I knew, like, FBS, like, it was going to be more players on the team, but I'm like, hold on, like, we got like 150 players on the team, bro. And it's like, I gotta like try to learn everybody's name, like,
yep,
and stuff like that. But nah, I had a really good first impression. You know, the guys were like super welcoming, you know, especially Adrian. Like, off the bat, I could tell like he was like a good leader and, you know, pretty easy to talk to guy, like easygoing guy. And that goes for most of the people. And another thing that helped is like all the team building stuff that we were doing at the time.
Yeah.
Because I think without that, it would have been kind of tough to, you know, like develop relationships with players and stuff like that.
Get to know them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because coming in as a transfer is different than a recruit. Because coming in as a recruit,
you have your class.
Yeah, you have your class, and you made all those connections beforehand. Mm. While as a transfer, it's like, you may have known someone then and there, but it's mostly just you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of weird because like, all the initiation stuff we were doing with all the early recruits, it's like, we got a couple other transfers, you know, we got Marquise Stepp, we got Chris, but it's mostly freshmen. So I'm like, I'm sitting in like introduction classes with like all these like 18-year-olds.
Yeah,
it's like, they're in a
different space, bro. Yeah. They're totally. It's funny now that I'm like older.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, like, freshman year, you come with your class, you're just on the same page, on the same level. Then next year, you're like, those are basically like the same guys. The next class that comes in, you vibe with those dudes. Mm-hmm. But then, like, the year that follows, and then the year that follows, I really start seeing like the youth on these dudes and just the differences. And then even like some of it, like how early they were born, like 2003 and stuff like that.
And that was crazy to me. Like, cause that's one thing I was worried about when I was transferring. Not worried about, but like, I don't want to be the old guy. Like, I don't want to be the old guy.
Bro, I hate to break it to you, but we're the old dudes. We are.
And it's like, I've never been used to that. I used to always, you know, talk shit to the old guys, like grandpa. This. Yeah.
And it's you need like a cane. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like, damn, I'm kind of fucking old, bro. It's good. And like, but seeing how many, we got a young team, like overall, we got a lot of young guys. And I'm over here assuming, like, Cam Jurgens, like, bro. I was like, yeah, he's a fifth-year senior for sure. Like, look at him. You know?
Yeah, and I think his eligibility is, like, a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is insane.
Yeah,
is insane.
It was a bunch of guys like that to where I'm like, damn, like, you're 20 or you're 19? Like, so it was kind of adjusted, you know, being that old guy. But, you know, I'm young at heart, so.
It's all that counts, right?
Yeah.
What about, like, the talent level? Did that ever, you know, kind of take you back a little bit, like, in practice going against the DBs? Was there any adjustment there at all?
Yeah, there was definitely an adjustment, you know. Just, like, size, speed, you know, technique, all that. Just because, you know, it's a whole nother level up. Like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, great people in the great players in the FCS, but it's just a different level, bro. And it's like, usually in the FCS, you have those undersized guys who are athletic because, you know, there's got to be a reason you went FCS. Like, you might have the intangibles, but you don't have the size and you're not getting picked up.
Yeah.
So coming into FBS, it's like, okay, you have guys who have the size and and the speed and the athleticism.
For
like,
sure.
But, you know, it wasn't too big of an adjustment just because I was, like, confident in my own abilities.
Yeah, and
like,
you got skill yourself, so it wasn't a problem.
And it was, like, we had, like, some FBS transfers, you know, come to Montana, you know, throughout my career. And they would, like, reassure me. They'd be like, bro, like, you can play at that level. Like, don't think that you can't. Like, you can play.
So I probably added to the mindset, too, coming in. Yeah.
Exactly. So it was definitely an adjustment, you know, but I feel like I adapted to it pretty quick.
Mm. Yeah, so how about coming into the receiver room? Who are some of the guys you got close with, and was it easy to mesh? I mean, I feel like I know the answer, but just want to hear you say it.
Yeah, I feel like it was definitely, you know, pretty easy to mesh. We got a lot of young guys, too. a lot of young guys with a lot of potential. I feel like coming in right away, first person I really clicked with was Levi, you know, especially because he's coming from an FCS program just like me.
Yeah, South Dakota.
Yeah, we actually played them my junior year. Whooped their ass, but
first game. I'll make sure he hears that.
Yeah, and he's heard it from me plenty of times, but he can hear it again. But yeah, just so I that was definitely a guy that I clicked with right away, you know, because I would kind of like pick his brain a little bit, like, you know, what's it like, you know, making that next step to the FBS level, like what's different, you know. But it was really easy to get to know a lot of the guys in there just because, you know, they're just like, you know, easygoing people, you know. I can name them all, like Alante, you know, Omar.
Good dudes. A lot of good dudes in that room, for sure.
Yeah. Brody, especially, like.
Brody's going to be here a little bit later.
For real, yeah. He's, like, the easiest guy to get to know. He's just Brody, like. But, yeah, overall, you know, a bunch of great guys in there, so it was kind of smooth. And they were all, like, super helpful, you know, with the playbook and all that. Like, you know, anything you need, like, just let me know. So it was smooth. Mm.
Now, I want to ask about that. I mean, obviously, don't need to give away anything, but I've heard things about how difficult the playbook can be for freshmen and transfers. How was dealing with that?
I picked it up pretty good. Okay. Like, and Coach Kaz was and Lubick, but mainly Kaz was like a big help with that. Just a lot of one-on-one sessions with him, like him breaking it all down, you know. Because after being at Montana, you know, the playbook was like embedded in my head, like all the
and the verbiage of it
and
too.
The verbiage, that's really what it is, the verbiage, because a lot of programs run the same route combination, same plays, but you know, it's just called something else.
Yeah.
You know, so it was definitely an adjustment for sure at first, but I feel like I picked it up pretty good.
I would say that the biggest adjustment in that regard is from the high school to the college level.
Definitely.
Because high school is, it's almost so simple, and it's like, you know, we're out here balling with the bros, and like it's made to be easy, whatever. But then the college is, you get this fat stack of papers that slam on the desk, and you got to know it all, the verbiage, what you run against this coverage, what you do against man versus press, okay, where am I supposed to sit, how's the quarterback expecting, the timing, this. You didn't even think about that in high school.
No, that's an adjustment to say the least, bro. I think every college football player remembers their first fall camp, where it's like,
holy shit.
Like you said, they stack all these plays on you, and they're like, "Don't fuck this up!" Like, and you're in the playbook. I mean, you're in the, you know, the film sessions. You know, breaking everything down. It's a big adjustment, you know, right away. But like you said, yeah, that's a bigger adjustment. So, the fact that I'm coming here and I already have that experience, you know, it wasn't as tough. I'm like, I've been through this before. Like, I know how this goes.
I got a couple more for you.
Yeah.
Who is the best player you've ever played against? So this is something we ask all our guests, and I'm curious, is it – and this can include people you've played against on the team, I guess, too, if you want.
I would probably say Justin Herbert.
You played against him in
– in college, my last season in Montana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we played Oregon, I think it was like our second game, and he's just a freak, bro. Like – looking at him in person, I was like, oh, my God.
He's so big, bro, dude. He's like, tall. He's a legit 6'6".
He's a legit 6'6", and he's stacked like a linebacker, bro. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I remember, like, I think it was like, I can't remember. I think it was like third quarter there in the red zone. And, like, our biggest, strongest defensive end, who was like, he don't miss tackles like that. Like, if he makes contact with you, he brings you down. And Justin Herbert low-key, like, threw him off him and rifled a pass in the back of the end zone. I'm like, yo, like, this dude's legit.
That was just different.
Yeah, it was just a different level. So, yeah, that's definitely the best player I've played against.
Then my last one. No, go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, I was just going to say that, well, he's quarterback for the Chargers, so.
Yeah. And was he rookie of the year?
I believe so.
He went off, yeah, like 33 TDs, just a dog.
It was between him and Justin Jefferson, and he won that.
You guys played LSU too?
Oh, no. I'm saying the rookie of the year.
Oh. It was between him and Justin Jefferson. I was about to say, y'all played LSU?
Nah. I don't know how that would have went if we played LSU.
For sure. Unrelated question. GOAT debate. Is LeBron the GOAT? Because I know you're a big NBA guy. I know we talk shop a little bit in that department. So just got to let the people know you're multi.
Yeah, LeBron's the GOAT.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Let's go.
Okay, we're on the same page.
I mean, I was ready if one of you guys said something else. I was ready to debate that. But, nah, LeBron's definitely my GOAT, and I'm partially saying that because he's our era. So we
yeah. is our era. We want him to be the GOAT, that dude. Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like he's just the best overall player of all time, bro. He can do it all. He can pass, shoot, finish. Like, he just makes so much of a difference on the court. And
yeah, he's a general. He's yeah. a general out there.
Exactly.
Man.
He just knows how to win games.
Rebound the ball, assist. I mean, Jordan can't top that. Those numbers in rebounding and assists. Yeah. I mean, even scoring.
He's like he's coaching. He's coaching on the court. He's pointing. You go over here. You come up, get the ball, and then I'm like, yo, this dude's different.
And some of the teams he's made it to the finals with, you know, it's just ridiculous.
He brought the worst team in NBA Finals history to the finals in 07 for the Cavs. Oh, that team was awful.
So it wasn't like Mo Williams and like, who's number 11, that big white bald dude, the 7-footer?
Ilgauskas.
Yeah. Like, come on, bro. Come on. You're telling me LeBron isn't the GOAT? I didn't see Jordan take any teams like that. Yeah. When Jordan left, that Bulls team won like 55 games the next year.
Yeah.
When LeBron left, they were the worst team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And obviously, Michael Jordan is an amazing basketball player. Like, he's in the GOAT conversation for a reason, but it's just a different time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Jordan's doing that. I don't know if he's doing that in this in this day and age. You know what I mean? So.
Well, I've always liked this quote. Michael Jordan is the best scorer in NBA history, but LeBron is the best player.
Yeah, and that's what I say, too. You know, he's just the best. No one can do it all like LeBron. But Michael Jordan was low-key unstoppable, like, when it comes to getting to the basket.
Exactly. Well, we hope you brought away many things from this opening discussion, but I hope one of them is LeBron is the GOAT.
Without a doubt.
So, Mari Torre with us here on Athletes Unfiltered, Episode 7. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with Tweets Unfiltered. Don't go away. Best part of the show, Tweets Unfiltered. Here on episode number 7, Jeff Ekstrom along with Adrian Martinez and Samari Torre with us on the guest. And Samari, you have a tweet for us. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. I usually don't, you know, address, you know, comments on Twitter, but this one, this guy, I just had to. Ty Hughes, at Husk on the Run 20. So I had posted, you know, a little Runza ad or whatever.
Yeah, okay, getting yourself a little NIL money. Yeah, all right, just, Runza.
Just a little something.
Side note: have you had a Runza?
Yeah, I actually just had it before I got here.
Oh,
really? Like a Runza or a cheeseburger?
Oh no,
Runza.
Just a cheeseburger. I've never had a.
Bro, I swear we're getting sidetracked, but every single person I know that goes to Runza doesn't get the Runza. They get the burger.
Oh, I get the burger. I don't get the Runza anymore.
What's
you need to try it though. The thing is, you got to try it.
It's like a cabbage. Hot pocket,
yeah.
It's the best way I could
describe
it.
Sound
with like
too
with
appealing.
Meat. With meat, it's kind of good though.
It's not too bad. Yeah,
I'll try it. You know, it's worth trying.
Anyways,
everything. Yeah. I had posted or whatever, and he quoted it, and he said, "Keep eating that Runza, and your name might be Slow Maury." And look, Ty. That's just a bad joke. Like, I feel like
it wasn't. You could have kept that one. You should have saved that one.
Yeah,
kept to yourself.
Nah, but it's all love. You know, that's just some lighthearted comments. You know, it's just something fun. But yeah, bro. Like, if you're gonna come at me on Twitter, bro, come at it with some, you know, funnier than that. You know, something I can at least giggle at. I kind of just saw that and I was like, bro, you.
It's gotta, a little cringy right there.
Like, yeah, you got to do better. But nah, it's all love.
Anything else? Anyone come at you with some like messed up comments?
Like I was trying to think, but
it's all positive.
Yeah, it's a lot of positive stuff, but I feel like I haven't like done anything yet to the point where it's like they can say anything negative. So maybe if we run this back after the season, maybe it'll be a few more comments. But
maybe a game or whatever. Yeah. Nah, that won't happen. Fuck that. I was going to say, you're pretty active on Twitter, pretty active tweeter. Is that just your deal? You trying to boost for name, image, likeness, or is this, you've always been this way?
I like being in spurts. I go in spurts. Mm. Like, it'll be sometimes where I use like Twitter a lot. But if you look at my tweets, bro, most of the time I tweet about like sports. Like, I'll tweet like if there's like a game on, like, you know, I'll tweet about that. But other than that, you know, I'm not tweeting too much, but, you know, here and there, yeah, I'll get into it. When I get bored, you know.
You're tweeting that LeBron's the GOAT.
Hmm?
You're going to tweet that LeBron's the GOAT, right? You keep tweeting about that?
Oh, that doesn't even need to be tweeted.
That's a retweet when you see it pop up all the time. Like every time it pops up on the feed. I actually have one to bring this week.
Mm, all right.
I want to bring. So this happened today. Mm. Nebraska, the account,
put out,
I was on the Maxwell finalist list. Mm. And
oh, yeah, I saw that.
On Instagram, someone said, quote, "Fuck a watch list. Win more than five games, please." So, Brendan, Smithy underscore four, what the hell do you know about winning games, bro? What do you know?
I love it.
It looks like the only thing you know is how to take some weak selfies. You're lucky I didn't clap back on Instagram, but I'm clapping back here. Yeah. I really had to hold myself back when I saw that. And I was funny. I was telling my girlfriend about it or whatever, and she's like, "You're above it. Like, don't clap back on him on Instagram, blah, blah, blah." I'm like, you know what? You're right. Like, I shouldn't. But I've had it. I'm doing it here. Bro, I had to.
That's gotta be hard for you, bro. That's gotta be hard for you to, like, hold back on.
Well, it's like you got to choose what you look at. And it's come over time. But when I was younger, like, that was tough. And when you go through, you know, we didn't have the best season my sophomore year, and there's a lot of negative stuff on there, and I kind of got caught up in it. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten to the point now where it's more funny, and it's more like, all right, whatever. Like, this is what this guy does. Like, I hope it made his day, you know? And I'd probably make his day by saying something. Exactly. That, like, actually make his day.
Exactly.
So it doesn't affect me to that point, and I let the people who, like, I actually value their opinions, I listen to them.
Yeah, I'm glad you could get on his head real quick. What's his name?
Smitty underscore four.
Yeah, Smitty. Fuck out of here with those weak ass.
Yeah, that's my dog. I respect it, dude. I respect it.
See, he mastered the art of winning games, though, while on his couch.
Yeah, like, he must know all that consists of. Like, he must know all the plays, how to read coverages. Yeah, exactly. He must know the whole deal, man. Like, he must be the new Bill Belichick on Madden.
What's crazy is 90% of the time, bro, like, you don't even have... Like, they don't even have real, like, profile pictures. Like, they're hiding behind a screen, bro.
The burner accounts.
Yeah, the burner accounts are active all the time. And it's like, bro, if you're not going to say that to his face, bro, just please save it, you know?
Or at least put, like, your real face in front of your profile.
He did put his real face.
Yeah, okay,
so,
there you go.
But they were still some weak-ass selfies, though.
Yeah.
So it's like, what
are you? Some dude doing, like, the duck lips in his yeah, you know what, dude?
Yikes.
I hope you hear this. I should tag you. No, that'd be too much. I won't do it. But there's some positive stuff in there, too. So it's like, if you want to see the love, you're going to see the hate. You know, like, you got to block it all out type of thing.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like,
exactly.
I knew I was coming up here today, and I was like, you know what, let's find some to share. And I definitely found it.
Yeah, yeah. You can't get too up when they praise you. You can't get too down when
praise and blame
they
the same.
You.
Yeah, you already know.
It's something we sign up for when we do this, so.
Hmm.
Well, I also feel like we have to address what happened between the Nebraska and Iowa football accounts today. Did you guys see that?
No, what happened?
I didn't see it.
Okay, it's like nothing big, but do you remember when they posted, the Husker football account said, "Nothing to see here, just a friendly interaction." And I think it's JoJo, like, tackling a Hawkeye football player here.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So they posted that July 16th, and today... The Iowa football account quote tweeted it saying, "Interesting photo choice because it's been 2,425 days since your last good interaction with us." And they list the game history between Nebraska and Iowa.
It took them that long to say that?
They must have been really bored because they were just sitting around.
Yeah, I think they're jealous because their social media team is definitely lacking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They can't compare to Nebraska's social media team and engagement. And I don't want to get in this debate with Iowa fans, and I probably shouldn't say anything, so I won't. But all true Nebraska fans know the argument. You know how it goes. And look, we'll find out this year. I'm excited.
That we will.
I was just going to look up how many followers compared. Okay, actually, it's decently close. But so actually, I can't use that.
There goes that argument.
There that goes.
But anything else? So it seems like Twitter is your choice for social media.
Yeah. And, like, on Twitter, like, the only thing, like, I really see is, like, you know, because there's, like, people who are, like, hyping me up, you know, excited that I'm here. But then at the same time, you got other people coming in, like, why the fuck are you hyping this guy up? He's coming from the FCS. He hasn't done anything at this level. He hasn't done anything for Nebraska yet. Like wait for him to play until you start hyping him up. I'm like, I mean, I get that.
Let him motivate you. Yeah, him motivate you.
Yeah, you know, I don't take any of it too serious, but, you know, yeah. I see it, and I'm like, okay. Like, I take notes of it.
Yeah,
and I got some stuff saved. So after the season, I'm gonna come back and tag a few of them, like you were saying. Like,
yeah. All right,
there you go.
But nah, I like I said, I don't really take any of that stuff too serious because, you know, a lot of the times, you know, the people who are talking the most shit know the least about what we do, and know the least about us as players and as people. So
that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't really take it into too much consideration.
Now, also, Husker Twitter, more specifically, is just a different beast. Would you agree with that, Adrian?
Yeah. I've touched on it more than a few times. Yeah. Did you notice that when you came?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the first things I noticed, because right when I committed, like, my followers just started going crazy. You know, I'm like, damn, like, Husker fans really, like, come. And then they've even proven me right even more. You know, to this day, you know, active on Twitter all the time.
Definitely,
you
know, very active.
Always seeing some, you know, whether it's good, bad, or in the middle. It's like they're active, like they're out there. So you got to respect it. At the end of the day, you know, they love their program.
And I also love getting in Twitter battles and players' comments sometimes too.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it go down.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it, bro. Because every time I look at my phone, someone's tagging you in something. I'm like, bro, let this man live for a day.
Yeah, it's almost like you just get used to it. And also, I don't even see it as much anymore. It's kind of like it is an effort on my part to just try and put in the rear view.
Yeah, and I have respect for you for that, because, you know, not a lot of people could probably handle it as well as you do, you know, because, you know, personally, I know a lot of people who just would clap back at every single person, like, and even let it, like, mess with their head, you know, when it comes to actually playing. But, you know, it's evident with you. You don't let any of that stuff get to you. You just kind of let the noise fade out. And that's something that's really important.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Talking social media and Tweets Unfiltered here on Athletes Unfiltered. Samori, anything else before we decide to go?
Yeah, any shout-outs you want to plug?
Man, shout out to all my friends and family.
Shout out to the homie Smitty.
Shout out to Ty Hughes with that trash joke. But it's nothing really I gotta say. Thank you guys for having me on here.
Thanks for coming on, man. Really,
it was awesome. And hopefully, Husker fans will get to know you more when you're catching some touchdowns back in the end zone here. You're coming this fall.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, Tori, with us here in Athletes Unfiltered. That's going to wrap things up from us. Make sure to follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at ATH Unfiltered. Follow Adrian at Martinez the QB, and you can follow myself at X on Sports. And if you're feeling generous and you've loved what we've done so far, we do have a Patreon up, and we will have bonus content, extra segments from every episode. So make sure to subscribe there. Or if you just want to donate, you can do that as well. On through Spotify or whatnot.
Yeah, nothing holding you back, man. Go ahead. Go for it.
Go for it. There we go. Episode 7 of Athletes Unfiltered. For Adrian Martinez, I'm Jeff Ekstrom. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
A Huda Media Production.